Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we are talking about Blacksmith's End.
Creeps.
That's right, it is creepy. But first, Josh, what did you do this week, brother?
This week, and the reason that the show is coming out a little bit late today, I was at MAGFest.
MAGFest,
that's right. 2014.
Did you have a good time?
I did. I had a great time. MAGFest is really awesome. Everyone I met there was fucking sweet. I saw a few Fantasy Fiction shirts.
That's so rad.
Which is radical.
I'm blown away by that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Coyd had one on, and I was like, Coyd, yeah, damn right you're wearing yours. But somebody also asked a question at the Continue Show panel about Fantasy Fiction, too. So.
Dude, I actually watched that whole panel at work today.
Yeah? Was it good?
Yeah, it was fun. It makes me so happy that you guys are, like, on a stage talking to people. Just by proxy, it makes me happy, so.
Well, you should do next time you're going, and then you'll be
there. I'm definitely going to be at MAGFest next year. I'm definitely going. I will plan my trip.
It was a lot of fun. Everyone's getting sick now, because that's the way it works. you go to MAGFest, and you get, I don't know, like, HIV. I don't even know.
Jesus. Hey, if you're going to go to a convention, guys, if you have the flu, you're feeling a little down, maybe skip out on the convention. Just write a letter, be like, yo, I had the flu. I know I'm doing you a solid. I'll send you a goddamn painting if you don't get my man sick.
I'll send you a goddamn painting.
Well, this week I went ahead and listened to the Conan the Barbarian 1982 soundtrack of the official movie. It blows me away. Someone commented on a very early episode, and I was like answering comments this week because I just haven't been getting around to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. It inspired me to write my story. One of my favorite things to do now is just to get on the WW and just listen to that.
On the WW.
You know what that means. Hey, fantasy fiction. It's canon, baby, baby. Old Toby, as it's known.
Old Toby.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite word for it now.
Old Toby's great.
I also watched Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I didn't watch the whole thing because my Silverlight crashed or something.
Oh,
it's like 2:30. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, Netflix is really shitty about that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy. But however, you know, I can't remember the last time I watched Barbarian. I actually ordered it on Amazon yesterday. Prime, 2-day shipping, baby, baby.
Hell yeah.
Baby, baby, 2-day shipping.
I think Destroyer is like seen as the lesser of the two movies, and people don't really like it as much, but visually, it's awesome. Like, any scene with that wizard, it looks like a Frazetta painting. It's so
great.
Yeah,
no, that's a... Destroyer's a really, like, good fantasy movie. I mean, watch
absolutely.
Destroyer and then watch like any other fantasy movie, even like Krull from the 80s.
Oh my god.
It's so much better than Krull. But Barbarian is so fucking good. Like,
I know. I can't wait to watch it tomorrow. Something else I realized while watching that film does still kind of hold up. It's still pretty rad.
Yeah.
And it blows the recent Conan out of the water.
Oh my god, dude. I wanted to watch the recent Conan like a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turned it off like 10 minutes in. I was like, this is retarded. The greatest thing about Conan, like in the beginning, is like there's a narrator. And then there's, like, no talking for, like, 6 minutes. And in the new one, they're like, it's like his dad is, like, having a talk with him for the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie. And you're like, I don't want to hear about your fucking dad talking to you, Conan. You're fucking Conan.
10 minutes into Destroyer, two animals are punched.
Okay? Yeah, he punches the llama or the camel.
Well, he bonks the camel on the head, knocking it unconscious, and he punches a horse during that opening
the fight.
Battle sequence.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, with that said, one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
Todd Bryanton, Lil Deuce Deuce on both Twitter and YouTube. You need to check out his channel.
Yeah.
There'll be a link to his YouTube in the show notes. Click on it. Check it out. It's hilarious. He sent us a Mudbark song. Living in a Dogman's Nightmare.
Dude, I don't know where he found this Mudbark song.
I'm not sure where he found it, but he found it, guys. And it's fucking Mudbark.
It's totally... I've listened to it maybe 100 times. I'm not even kidding. Literally 100 times.
You need to check out his channel, Little Deuce Deuce, on YouTube. He makes hilarious music videos, cartoons, and just songs that are hilarious. Mudbark made this song. We're going to use it as the transition music. So why don't we get into some fantasy with some motherfucking Mudbark in this bitch. Let it be said, and you shall be dead. Doglips spoke again. Okay, this one's called Living in a Dogman's Nightmare. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Living in a Dogman's Nightmare. Let it be said, you shall be dead. Living in a Dogman's Nightmare. Let it be said, you shall be dead. Mudbark, 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 Mudbark.
Oh yeah, are you ready, Dom?
I'm so ready, Josh. After that Mudbark, I'm ready for war.
You're ready to fucking fight?
Well, I don't know if I'm ready for sex, but...
I don't know.
I'm saving myself. Anyway, just go on.
My story is called Seawalking.
Seawalking?
I just named it 2 seconds ago.
Oh my god. Tell me about it. I want to know.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Daranos is filled with all kinds of awesome fucking shit. Most of the realm remains shrouded in mystery and in some kind of cool jizzy haze that keeps the average adventurer blind to many of the mysterious and hidden treasures just begging to be found, like a hot slut at a party just begging to be finger banged in the bathroom because she has daddy issues.
Jesus. Oh my god, that analogy is canon.
But one adventurer has the keen senses to cut right through the bullshit and muscle his way into legend. That adventurer is Buff Cat!
Oh my gosh! Buff Cat in his debut story! Oh my god, okay, alright, I am ready for... I don't know if I'm ready for this.
You might not be.
Just lay it on me.
Buff Cat, with his Buff Cat-like reflexes and heightened senses, made a name for himself amongst some of Daranos' most famous and gifted adventurers. His muscles were said to be as huge and as powerful as his face was cutie and kissable.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that makes him even more cute than I thought!
And when you compare it to muscles, now I know how cute he is!
Well, I knew the muscles were huge.
This made Buff Cat a very deadly combination of super adorable and deadly. One minute, you're petting his adorable tabby cutie fur, and the next, he's suplexing your bones into dust and doing a victory lap with your skin over his shoulders like some kind of gross skin cape. One day, Buff Cat was cold chilling in the woods. He liked to escape the hustle and bustle of the tavern scene because he was getting older. He was 7. And honestly, he wasn't ready to date yet after being heartbroken by Mrs. Buff Cat, who got hit by a bone car and died in his arms.
Oh my god!
Anyway, he was cold chilling in the woods, licking his own beehole, when the call of the adventurer hit him like a boner in the night, hard and unannounced. Pew! Buff Cat roared, which I think meant he was happy. Or sad. Or I don't know, Buff Cat is kind of hard to read like that, you know? There was only one thing that could soothe the beast that now stirred within his adorable kitty heart that probably is responsible for purring, but not even the wisest wizards know that for sure. That was to explore the ancient forbidden crypts of the Cryptmaster Dr. Bone Splitter MD.
He's MD!
He's a medical doctor.
It's canon.
It's canon. Buffcat soon arrived at the entrance of the crypt.
Cut to.
This is the best story I've ever written. We're just cutting through the shit on this one.
Hey, let's just get to it, man. I don't need to see him walking.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, he's fucking Buffcat. He walks.
I do want to see Buffcat. Anyway, go on.
Buffcat soon arrived at the entrance of the crypts, which had long been the end of many adventurers' life quests. Legend has it that like 100 adventurers died there, and maybe it was even haunted.
The narrator won't tell you.
Buffcat entered the spooky mausoleum, which stood alone in the woods like some kind of lonely old lady at a bar who was just begging to be finger banged because of her daddy issues.
My God!
Mew! Buffcat thought to himself as he entered the tomb and headed down into what he could tell was an ancient evil. When he reached the bottom of the stairs, he found himself in a room surrounded by 7 skeletal witch maidens of Witchmar.
Oh, Witchmar?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a place?
I don't know, is it?
To be determined. Tune in next week, travelers.
Oh my god. Oh shit.
We are idiots.
This is great. Alright, this is already the best episode we've ever done. An ancient order of long forgotten witches who use spells to kill people and just really fuck up their day because, like, anyone got time to get that spell shit reversed.
Okay, so you did just explain.
They were horribly ugly, even for cool skeletons. Their hair was long and tangled, and their boobs were pretty gross.
Oh.
Some of them you could bang if you were really drunk, but let's face it, you'd never get your dick back.
Look at the cute kitty, said one of the witches. I think he wants to play.
Just then, the witches surrounded Buffcat. One pulled out a cat of 9 tails and whipped him on his perfectly toned Buffcat butt. Buffcat hated that because being whipped is stupid. Hiss, said Buffcat.
Poor kitty, said one witch.
Then she cackled and her remaining titty fell into a cauldron, which caused the blue potion to turn into a green potion that smelled like farts, and a foghorn went off in the background somewhere.
These women are awful. These skele women, I guess.
They're terrible. Buffcat had enough of this horse shit. He reached down on his belt and put on his legendary Buffcat enchanted claw fist weapons. They glowed red with Buffcat's favorite enchant, Wizard Catnip.
A pleasing scent.
Mew! Buffcat mewed as he punched a hole in one of the Bone Witches so hard all her daddy issues seemed irrelevant, and then she died again. Buffcat was on a tear. He took one of the witches and snapped her in half like a twig that had gross boobs. Soon another witch put a flying hex on Buffcat. He flew up into the air, and soon the witch removed the spell, causing him to fall. He fell for a ways, then landed on his feet, because duh, you dumb bitch, he's a cat.
Immunity!
He's immune to that spell, that element.
It's a racial.
Yep, it's passive racial. Buffcat used his claw fist weapons to claw up her face and legs, something awful. Turns out she was allergic to cats and exploded.
Take that, you jerk, yes. Witch maiden.
Seriously. Buffcat then reverse high kicked the witch right in the face, causing her head to spin around on her spine. She grabbed her own head to stop the spinning, but it was turned around facing her back. Buffcat then power bombed her, and she turned into a powder, which he then rolled around in because she kind of smelled like grass. The remaining skeletal witches soon ran off to fight another day. Buffcat was satisfied to let them go because, oh my god, a piece of string! After playing with the string for several hours, he moved on to the next room of the crypt. As he opened the door, he heard a maniacal laugh. As he entered, he saw the laboratory of Dr. Bonesplitter, M.D.
Oh my god.
Ah, Buffcat, he said. So nice of you to join us.
Mew, Buffcat replied.
I was using the royal us, Dr. Bonesplitter said. I'm aware that I'm the only one in the room. Mew. Dr. Bonesplitter never uses the third person. Mew. You're stupid, Bonesplitter snapped. Anyway, this is irrelevant. Minions, grab him by the scruff. Just then, some ghosts came out of fucking nowhere and grabbed Buffcat by the neck, causing him to immediately be calm and helpless like a cutie little kitty boy. The ghosts then strapped Buffcat to a medical table and used magic chains to keep him down because regular chains ain't no thang for BC. Now then, Buffcat, what are you doing in my crypt? Buffcat did not say a word. Cat got your tongue? Bonesplitter quipped. Then a studio audience laughed. Fantasy fiction is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
It's, oh my god, that is canon.
Well, I see no harm in telling you about my master plan. You see, my feline friend, I found a new power. It's called death metal.
Oh, man, that is a power.
All around the room, Buffcat could see all kinds of badass weapons. There were swords, axes, double swords, and even some blunderbusses, all forged from some kind of strange metal Buffcat had never seen before. Death metal is my most powerful invention. It cuts through anything. Even such a strong cutie kitty cat full of hot dude muscles like you, my friend. Mew. Perhaps we should test it out on a suitable test subject, Bonesplitter said as he cackled. He reached on his belt and grabbed a death metal dagger and slowly started to walk over toward Buffcat. Now, little kitty, where should we start? Perhaps we should declaw you? Or maybe remove that pesky tail? Oh, I know. Perhaps a good old-fashioned neutering.
Oh my god, this guy is so evil.
Mew. Buffcat gulped. To be continued.
Oh my god. Cliffhanger.
What's gonna happen? I don't know.
Those witches. They just whipped Buffcat and that's all they could do.
They whipped him once. And that was it.
Then you tried to cast a spell on him, but immunity, sorry.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. That was a great story, Josh.
Thank you.
Buffcat, we get right into the action, and he just starts being Buffcat right away. All right, Josh. Are you ready for my tale of blacksmiths and... Crips!
Yes!
Prepare yourself for Afurok the Skull Harvester.
Oh my god, that's the coolest title ever.
In a time of pure chaos and unspeakable debauchery, in a world of ruthless villains, foul beasts, and bone-hungry dragons,
yes!
Stepped forward a warrior destined for intoxicated destruction. Come! I shall tell you a tale of a hero most unfuckwittable.
Pause for dramatic effect.
In Doldan, the small crossroads town of men, Thram the Barbarian
yes.
marched through as the hot sun beat down on Orkspire.
I'll just go back into my regular voice.
That was good, though.
It was just for the intro. A little effect. Yeah, that's what we call jazzing it up. I think that's the professional term.
I think it is.
Adventurers from all over exchanged information and stories in taverns as they tried to forget what should be forgotten. Like seeing your best friend killed by a mimic. You know, one of those treasure chest monsters. Imagine seeing your DOG get swallowed up by one of them. Zeesh. And the poor were sickly in the streets, coughing their poor all the hell over.
Just coughing poor on people.
They're like, I'm so poor. Thram had long traveled across Orkspire in search of a new weapon to wield. In his hand, he held what remained of the axe staff, nothing more than a broken stick after Thram attempted to chop down a wizard's tower that was protected with a magic shield, which shattered upon impact. But that is a tale for another time.
I want to hear that story.
A man dressed in a foul-stained robe, once resplendent, held pieces of soiled cloth.
Bits of carpet for sale? Make your home look slightly worse with a dusty old carpet, he yelled. Buy something else.
Like, if you just want your hovel to look like more shit.
Yeah, I'll just throw this bit of carpet in here. Buy something else to collect dirt with. Clean it for hours. These filthy rags are already half destroyed. Dirty ass carpets for sale. Definitely not small squares of discarded undergarments. How about this purple one for you, you savage dog of a man who probably ate a rat for breakfast or something, because that's what you dirty barbarians do?
Damn, that's presumptuous.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Thrum turned around, stared into the salesman's eyes. The man saw his life flash right before him. It started in carpet selling school, where as a child he learned how to point out the finest parts of stuff found in the trash. Thrum struck the man across the temple with what remained of the axe staff. The barterer then recalled once making out with a soiled cloth woman that he made.
I knew he was freaky. I knew this motherfucker was something wrong.
He knew he was. Thrum then impaled the fool upon the splintered end of the staff, pushing the man's heart through his body. Well, that's pretty much my life, said the man. One more moment, scum, said Thrum, as he grabbed a fistful of the man's hair and lifted his head. The barbarian took out his wiener and peed all over the man's bits of carpet. My babies, whispered the salesman, and he bled out on the pile of rags and died.
Jeez.
No one cared.
Oh my god. Oh man.
Thrum scanned the town, and amongst the various adventurers and a man with a knife trying to sell his own hair, Thrum saw what he was looking for, a sign in the shape of an anvil. He headed toward it. A cocky human rogue was balancing a dagger on his finger, attempting to show off to any maiden who might be peering out of her sex window, the window she quietly stares out of when she wants sex. One maiden
that's like
glanced
the sign.
At the...
Yeah, that's like the
yeah
sign.
She's
like the red light.
Oh, just a fair maiden staring.
Would like to get fucked soon.
One maiden glanced at the act, and the rogue took his eyes off the blade for just a second and stumbled into Thrum. Thrum glared down at him with a look of death. The smell of the rogue's old moldy cloak and his beard with some drying liquid in it. Liquid has a question mark in parentheses. And his rancid breath made Thrum even more pissed. The man spoke. Watch where you're going, you idiot barbarian. What does that say? Unfuckwittable? What's that supposed to mean? Thrum grabbed the rogue by the throat and lifted him off the ground. The barbarian gritted his teeth and mad-dogged him so hard the rogue peed his pants.
Mad-dogged him. Just growling at him.
What is your name? Demanded Thrum. Gildan, the blade juggler, gasped the thief. Thrum grabbed the man's right ear. Unfuckwittable means, said Thrum as he ripped the thief's ear right the hell off. He yelled into it, I fucking rip ears off.
He ripped it off and then he yells it. And he says, like, dude, I love Thrum.
The rogue screamed in immense pain. The maiden closed her sex window and began staring out of her I'm going to look the other way as people die window. With his stone-hard mitts, Thrum grabbed the rogue's right hand and crushed it in his grip. You shall now be known as Buttlick the Insufferable, half-deaf piss-maiden. Say it, you scum. Who are you? I am Buttlick the Insufferable, half-deaf piss-maiden. That is correct. Now go, Buttlick, maiden the piss. And Thrum threw the former rogue into the pile of pissy carpet bits, which he bled out upon as well. Now those carpets were super bloody, piss-ridden, and still a great deal. Thrum continued through the town when a sorcerer accompanied by two acolytes walked out of a magic goods shop. The sorcerer wore a deep purple robe with golden trim. His fingers were decorated with magic rings that did all sorts of shit. He had a long black beard, pointed eyebrows, and held a staff made from white wood with the words Dopecaster 2000 written on it in Elvish. When we return to the tower, spoke the sorcerer, I want all the servants to stand in line as I practice my lightning spell on them, or as I like to call it, crazy evil lightning spell for bad guys, a.k.a. Shock Zappa's Hours. Thrawn passed the sorcerer. And don't forget to, oh, who the fuck is this disgusting bastard? A barbarian? Be gone. Your kind is not welcome here.
I kind of love this guy.
Said the sorcerer as he shooed Thrawn away with his fingers. Thrawn uppercut the sorcerer's head right the fuck off.
Never mind, he's dead. I no longer love him.
The head flew into the air, fell back down to Orcspire, and was impaled on the sorcerer's staff, dead.
His body is just holding the staff.
Still standing. It happened real quick. It was a bang-bang play.
That's canon. That's canon.
The Acolytes acted quickly and cast every heal spell they knew on the sorcerer. His eyes opened once more and focused on Thrawn. Blood poured from his mouth as he spoke. You wretched creature! You think you can kill Balnakar, the sorcerer? Yes! Yelled Thrawn, and he heart-punched Balnakar's body, killing him again.
Jesus Christ.
The Acolytes tried to act quickly once more, but Thrawn double backhanded the shit out of them, knocking them out.
Double back.
It's a move you learn if you're a barbarian.
I don't know what it is, so I need to get to
it's
that
like
point.
When you backhand two people at once, like you cross your hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you just double backhand the shit.
That's a pro move.
Thrawn tore open Balnakar's robe, and with a pocket blade one of the Acolytes was carrying, he scrawled "Suck Dickable" across the sorcerer's chest. Thrawn laughed at
never
his
mind,
own
I
joke.
Love him again.
Thrawn laughed at his own joke as he began to walk away. The Acolytes came to and resurrected Balnakar once again. Idiot barbarian, yelled the sorcerer after Thrawn. You will rue this day. Acolytes, teleport us home. The Acolytes put their hands together and said, teleport him, baby, baby. And the three vanished. Thrawn had already forgotten about the sorcerer he killed twice as he approached the blacksmith's door. He examined the sign, which read, Danith Forgeron, the finest blacksmith in all of Orcspire. And underneath that, in smaller text, read, fine in skill and in body. Muscles. I'm talking about muscles. No, don't write that part. What do you do? And it kind of faded off.
Dot, dot, dot. Keeps going.
Thrawn kicked the door open and yelled, guess who will be giving Thrawn stuff for free today? And he began to go around the room inspecting weapons and armor and breaking them on the ground after deeming them not badass enough. Mm-hmm. Inside sat Danith, the blacksmith, an older man who was startled, to say the least. Danith was a half-elf blacksmith who, in his time, served as a master forger for many armies. He also had Born to Forge tattooed on his right bicep. In his old age, he decided to finally open up his own shop to serve adventurers. And you know how the old saying goes, you can take the blacksmith out of the forge, but you can't forge a new blacksmith out of the old one's body. Blacksmithing doesn't work that way.
Canon. That's totally canon. That's a saying in Daranos as well, I believe.
Oh, is it? Oh,
it got over. It got over there.
That's canon. Danith was quite proud of his shop, which Thrawn was quickly destroying. Barbarian, called Danith, but Thrawn was not listening. Too dumb, too stupid, too butt dumb, too butt stupid. This place sucks. Barbarian, what is it you want? Thrawn is looking for steel to last as long as Thrawn himself. Mm-hmm. Thrawn cannot find it, so now he will kill. Wait, Barbarian, yelled the blacksmith. I know of one sword. Crafted long ago in ancient times, a sword not seen in Orcspire for many centuries. Thrawn paused and said, Thrawn is half listening, and continued to stomp on the helmet. It is called many things, Orc Slicer, Elf Severer, and by one goblin it was known simply as Daisy. But to those who could wield it, it was called Afroth, the Skull Harvester.
Dude.
It does not matter what race stands before Thrawn. Even if race is running faster than Thrawn, Thrawn will cut them all down. Danith presented a small chest hidden beneath his workbench, unlocked it, and withdrew papers with sketches of the sword, depicting it as an all-black blade and hilt, with a menacing white skull on the center of the hilt, and etchings of electric guitar wizards along the handle.
Dude, most epic weapon.
Drawings of swords? What good are these? Thrawn could break these with his spit! yelled Throm as he began to spit on them, but the blacksmith yielded him once more. These are the plants from which I will forge your weapon, but they require a metal not seen in this world for a long time. Then all is lost. Purge the blacksmith, yelled Throm. Wait! There are rumors.
He's so hot and cold.
He's like 0 to 60. He got it, or he's gonna kill you.
Yeah, man.
He doesn't have time to waste.
Hey, man, I get it. I get it, man.
There are rumors. Rumors that the ore lay deep beneath Orcspire in a crypt that holds the dead of old wars. The crypt known as Faldoon, located in the far west. This sure is a lot of exposition, Bellatrom. Throm, is that what they call you? Asked the blacksmith. It is the name that is associated with the death ideal, responded the barbarian.
That is so fucking badass.
Jesus. I will make this weapon for you, Throm, if it stops your destruction of my wares. Throm will consider that deal, he said as he broke another shield over his knee. Just fucking shit up.
It's still breaking shit. I love it.
You must retrieve this ore. Head west through the cursed forests of Hatunul, beyond the ghostly swamps of Angulin, and into the crypt of Faldoon where the warriors of the old world sleep.
Oh my God.
Only some of those journeys will be covered, declared Throm, bending maces with his bare hands. Then it is agreed, said Danith. Throm the barbarian, head west and begin the forging of Afurath. Throm does what he wants, said the barbarian. As he continued to stomp Danith's remaining helmets, he did this for 17 more minutes, then took a nap, then got back up, beat up Danith's workbench, then armed himself with two bastard swords and headed east, until the blacksmith corrected him once more, and he headed the other way. To be continued!
That was awesome. That was a great story.
Oh, thanks,
man. Dude, I love Throm. Throm's always in... Whenever you have a Throm story, you're always in for a fucking good-ass time. But that story was really great. Oh, my God.
Thanks. I like that I can go ahead and skip some parts, because that's the nature of this show.
Yeah, just, you know, go to the... Suddenly, they're at the crypt.
Cut to action!
I am Reese's the Wise here with
Old Snickerdoodle, and welcome to another edition of
Chamber of Knowledge.
It's knowledge.
I don't know
where you got this secrets business.
I'm ripping off a movie, I think.
What is a movie?
I don't know.
I don't either. In fact, maybe we'll learn in one of these scrolls we have with us here today. First scroll,
all right.
Keith Hansen asks, what sort of magical artifacts do you own? Which one is your favorite?
That's a very good question. I own an all-seeing crystal orc skull. If you look into its eyes, you see a random person having sex.
Let's just say I peek into that skull once in a while.
It's very good.
I own an ogre lord's toenail that's supposed to bring good luck, and I use it on Wizlastic scratch-off tickets, but all I ever win is another ogre lord's toenail, so I don't really get the point.
So it is good luck. That's a very good, that's good
winnings.
Is it?
Is it just winning more good luck? I just don't know if the toenails, if I should keep them.
I think you should. I think they're going to be collector's items one day, and you should put them on Wizbay.
They are numbered. Wizbay. Ooh. Well, next scroll. Let's just go to the next scroll.
Next scroll is from Nathan Enos. He asks, how was your home life, Snickerdoodle?
Wizardly!
Just wizardly?
Yes, I am a wizard. Is that... Are you debating that it was not?
No, I think that's very good, Snickerdoodle. I mean...
Right, it was good. It was great. It was wizardly.
My father was very strict. He only allowed me 20 magic biscuits before bed. I guess I'm...
Oh, my goodness.
I've forgiven him, I guess, but, you know, Moonsgiving is rough sometimes.
Oh, my God, that's that is inhuman. In Wiz Main. Next scroll.
Next scroll.
Hans Jaeger Garam asks, what are the least practical weapon/item in your realms?
In Daranos, it's the wet noodle mace. Doesn't do a lot of DPS.
I don't know who forged that. Maybe a chef.
Some pussy chef ass bitch, I think.
In Orcspire, that would be the light sword. It's supposed to be an ancient weapon from another time that in another world would be very affected due to light prisms and such. But here in Orcspire, it is more of just a cool thing you could hold at dance parties that glow.
That sounds pretty cool, actually. I think we should get those together and maybe some of those toenails you were talking about and have a party.
Well, you can ask to borrow those things from me because I don't know if I'm ready to just put those in your hands.
I'm not going to steal them and put them on Wizbay and make a million gold.
You have been making a lot of money on Wizbay, so I just noticed some things have gone missing. That's all I'm saying.
Look, I needed that Merc Monk taint to go up. We needed to get rid of it. It was cluttering.
We did not
up
need to get rid of it. My one of my parents gave that to me.
They gave you a taxidermied Merc Monk taint?
Yes. It was my graduation gift.
I'm sorry.
It was at Temple University, and I'm upset about it. Next scroll. I don't want to talk about it.
Next scroll is from @airbagged. They ask, what's your New Year's resolution, my wizards?
To stop getting high on wizard weed and eating the so-called salads that Reese's keeps preparing for me. You know, I realize they're just dirt and Ogre's Lord's toenails when I'm sober, but when I'm toasted on that WW, I don't care.
Snickerdoodle, when you're toasted on the dub-dub, I can feed you anything, even that Merc-Monk taint.
I tried to eat that 3 times.
It was pretty impressive, Snickerdoodle.
Is that why you sold it? You were looking out for me, and you didn't want me to eat Merc-Monk taint?
Well, to be honest with you, I kind of did want you to eat it because it was really funny.
Well, how about you? What is your new resolution?
My new New Year's resolution is to reconcile with my father.
Okay, that was kind of serious. That's okay.
Next scroll.
Next. Did you want to talk about it sometime?
Not here, Snickerdoodle. Now is not the time.
This is the Chamber of Knowledge. If you're going to tell me something, it should be here. Next scroll, next scroll. It comes from @RobMackle. He asks, what is the most common spell that wizards cast regularly in Orcspire and Daranos?
Yes. In Daranos, it's the wipe your own butt spell.
That is useful.
I use it like 3 to 4 times a day, depending on how many salads I've eaten.
Hopefully not any of those salads you've been preparing for me. Well, I would prefer not to ever see anyone eat dirt and toenails.
You've got to keep regular, Snickerdoodle. It's very important.
There's a lot of fiber in the toenails. In Orcspire, Magic Kissel is the most common spell. It's a really magical kiss that wizards can do and make women fall in love with them. Definitely not Make a Light Appear spell. Boring.
I know that we have like 2 suns in this world. Like we need more light. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Make a light.
Magic Kissel, though.
Every
you
2 seconds, kids are going around making lights. Get out of here. Next scroll.
Get the fuck out of here. Next scroll is from @the2r3. They ask, what, quote, most likely to awards did Reese's and Snickerdoodle get in their Wizard College yearbooks? Snickerdoodle?
Well, after graduating from Wizard Temple University, yes. I got most likely to be in the yearbook, and it came true, so how about that?
What a prophetic most likely award.
Well, things happen to me. How about you, Reese's?
Well, when I graduated from Wizard Yale, I received most likely to be knee-deep and stanky puss, but I actually just wrote it into every yearbook because I was a nerd and I was on yearbook club, so it wasn't actually given to me.
I don't know how much of a nerd you were if you just vandalized everyone's yearbook.
Well, I was an edgy nerd, let's say.
Okay, all right. But we have a final scroll here, yes. I believe. at Neon Bath. Yes. They ask, someone told me that this recently deceased year was the year of the Orc Taint. Mm. By the Orc Spire and Davros calendar, what is this year? Well, I mean, it's always Year of the Dragon. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that, snickerdoodle.
Bearded Dragon, Sparkly Space Dragon. Mm. It just changes. This year, it's Cloud Dragon.
Clown Dragon or Cloud Dragon?
Both. He actually is a clown. Not a lot of people know that about him. He can juggle.
The rarest.
He won't do parties, though. He's busy being a cloud dragon. That has to be the year of the cloud dragon, so don't ask him to be a clown at your birthday party.
Yes. It's going to be a wonderful year.
Yes, it will, and you will find out more about that year on the next episode of Chamber of Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Until then. This is all the information you shall receive, so I hope you took notes.
Yes.
We are sending a quiz to your house. Open your door. We made it appear there with magic, so fill it out and put it in your mailbox. We'll get it later. Have a good time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Do you think they're going to just listen? They could probably just listen to this again and fill out the quiz.
Yes, they could. It's like an open book test at this point, I think.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. We didn't think this through too good, Snickerdoodle.
Well, I guess we'll just have to grade on a curve, just to make it easier.
Yeah, like a really, really bad curve, like a...
Like a sexy curve.
Yeah, like a butt. Like, you know how butts have curves?
Yes, I do.
I want to grade on that curve every day. And by grade, I mean jizz on.
Oh god, the RC ball's still on. Get out of here!
Snickerdoodle, you gotta turn it off! Oh, fuck!
Well, that was more interesting information from Reese's and Snickerdoodle, would
yes.
you say?
Always informative, I guess.
It's funny they record on an RC ball, but we only hear audio.
Yeah, that's really weird. I don't know
where that video feed is going.
I don't know. Someone maybe needs to ask him about that. I don't know.
Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of the show. If you guys want to follow us on the social media, Facebook and Twitter and such, that's all in the show notes. If you're feeling generous, leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe on iTunes because that really, really helps the show a lot. I wanted to thank Todd Bryanton one more time. Go check out his YouTube channel. It's in the show notes as well. Lil Deuce Deuce for that beautiful Mudbark. I mean, Mudbark provided that song.
He found it, I think.
It's canon. I mean, I don't know how he got it from Orcspire, but he got it.
Yeah.
But it is canon.
Next week, our prompt is Archers and Clerics that was given to us by Ryan Killeney and Christopher D. Ristic, respectively. So thank you.
I'm excited for that, so thank you for suggesting those. And thank you, everyone, who suggests prompts. We have to go through a lot of them, but we go through each and every one of them to see things that catch our eye and sounds like a fun time for you guys.
We read every prompt. Like, we go through all of them. So this week there was like 100 of them. And we
read them all. Was a freaking 100 of them. You guys are crazy.
Whoever said cool Draculas, that was really good.
I do still really like Sickest Bone Sesh from last week, which is every episode with you.
Dude, yeah, like that's like every story I write is basically that's the hidden prompt.
But thanks again for listening to another episode, and we'll continue these stories. I guess we'd even comment on that these are both our first cliffhangers, oddly enough.
Yeah, we're doing cliffhangers, and I don't know, maybe it'll be a two-parter, maybe it'll be a three-parter, I don't know.
I guess we'll find out next week.
Yes.
So thank you all again for checking out another episode, and have a good week, everybody. We'll see you then.
See you then.
Until then.
Keep on wizarding!
Keep on wizarding, brothers. Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.